What do I do if I have no idea what I want to do with my life? When I'm in the middle of my career and realize my work doesn't have meaning or purpose to me anymore? How do we tell our friends and family that we want to completely change our career? Where should we start in making such a big life change? And how can I know what to change careers to? This podcast was created to answer these very questions. My name is Travis Robinson, and you're listening to The Everyday Worker. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Everyday Worker. Anita, thanks for being here with me.
Oh, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, we're getting into fall here, so looking for some sunshine over on this end, I have to tell you, but
yeah,
today's kind of a big day for us. Oh, yeah, go on.
Really? No, why is it a big day for you?
Well, because it's kind of inspiring what I wanted to talk about today, but my youngest son is actually doing something like what we call trial runs in Switzerland. So in Switzerland, part of the schooling is that you have to choose at some point whether you're going to go to kind of a university, like higher education studies, or if you're going to go into an apprenticeship. And one of the ways that they help to get the kids to think about, you know, what they want to do for their future, and I mean, here we're talking about like eighth graders, is they do these trial runs. And it's kind of, you know, I've heard you talk about this a lot on the podcast before and in the teachings that you do, you know, basically that you like to encourage people to do like a very, very short form of an internship. So just a few days where people can get exposed to some kind of a job or a profession and see if it's something that's of interest to them. So here, this is actually something that's really standardized and that they actually oblige the kids to do. And this sparked a discussion today, which I thought was actually probably really useful for the listeners of this podcast. And it's about professionalism. So I was telling my son that the apprenticeship system in Switzerland is very professional, and that they teach a lot, you know, basically like hands-on work, but also at school, and they teach you how to be professional. And he kept saying like, okay, well, you know, what's professionalism exactly? And I was like, professionalism? Well, when you're a professional. And he's like, yeah, Mom, I still don't really get what that means. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So I was thinking about it later, and I actually looked it up on Google. So, nice. You know, this is what Google – yeah, well, you know, because I was like, this is funny. So I looked it up on Google, and Google tells us that it's the competence or skill expected of a professional. Okay. And a professional is a person who is engaged or qualified in a profession. So I thought it would be kind of fun actually to have a little discussion around that, because I think that the lines are really becoming blurred. Mm-hmm. I think it used to be maybe more that, you know, maybe it was considered that a diploma made you a professional in a particular field. I would say it really depends on the profession or the industry that you're in. And, you know, if you're a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant, you know, you have to, you have to pass entry exams and final exams, and you often have to do periods of practice to demonstrate your abilities. And then you even have to have like ongoing education to keep certified. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's one way to do it. But in most professions, you know, that's not the case, and right. they're not required. So it's a little bit of a question for me about how we actually think about professionalism today.
Yeah. So, well, I think it's so interesting. Thoughts? Yeah. I think it's just so interesting about how you brought up, like, it would be different if what industry you're in, if you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, whatever it might be. And just a thought that came to my mind, and maybe it's a little bit of a tangent off of professionalism, but a networking event that I went to a couple weeks ago, it was the first networking event that I've ever gone to in person. And the online it said to dress in business attire. And I was like, what is today's business attire, you know? Because it totally depends on where you're working. And, you know, you work at like Google or something, you can come in flip-flops and shorts and a t-shirt. Okay, I don't know if Google's like that. I imagine Google's like that. But you know what I mean? But then if you're a lawyer, business attire is a lot different than if you're working at Google or something. And so, you know, I kind of I kind of went for a middle ground where I was a button up shirt and jeans, you know, nice slacks, but nothing too fancy. So, you know, it's changing of what people view of being a professional. And yeah, so I'm kind of curious to hear the thoughts of what you found on Google. Or
it's funny for me actually that you say that, because how you just described how you were dressed is what I would call business casual. But I have to say, because I have this career of working with people from a financial and banking background, that even for them, business casual is completely different depending on who you're talking to.
Yeah, maybe it was business for some casual actually, but
well, if you were wearing. Well, and I mean, that's probably even okay for a networking event. But, yeah. You know, I think for a lot of people, it either comes down to, can you wear jeans mm-hmm. or are slacks required, you know, chino style? Yeah. Or, you know, are you only in a button-down shirt, or do you actually have to have a jacket on? So, you know, there are these things. But, I mean, for the people who are into this, this is kind of a thing. I guess yeah. the question is, do you want to adhere to that or not? So, you know, I think it's... So this is part of the discussion for me. So one of the things clearly is, I don't know, what you would maybe call like in your general attitude category. So I have three categories that I think we can break this down into, let's say. First is kind of general attitude. The second is like execution or how you carry out your work. Okay. And the third is like interaction with others. I think those would be like the general broad categories that I would break it into to kind of facilitate the discussion. Right. Yeah. And so certainly part of that is first impressions. Mm. And first impressions is where I would say definitely the clothing most certainly must come into play. And I don't have, you know, hard, fast rules about this, but, you know, I think we can say like at a minimum, personal hygiene counts. Right. So being clean and, you know, brushing your teeth and doing your hair and, you know, that your clothes are clean. Right. Mm. Do they have to be ironed? I think in a professional setting, if you're wearing a shirt that wrinkles, mm-hmm. then you should probably iron it. Yeah. Right. I think these are just some basic things that hopefully people aren't going to think nasty thoughts about you if you don't. But on the other hand, if you want to stand out, I think then that's where you're going to make that extra step.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. And, you know, I like goes back to that first impression that, you know, the impression that you want to make on other people. It's kind of sad to think that the way that you dress is going to influence the way someone views you, but it's just kind of the reality of the situation. You know, it's not, I think just as human beings, we have an instinct to automatically make a judgment. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. We're making judgments all the time. You have to throughout your life. And so really it just comes down to, are you willing to, I guess, kind of play the game and you know, I don't know, maybe I'm being cynical.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the thing is that like, if people are honest, if you go into a restaurant, right. And it doesn't, you don't even have to sit down to eat, right? If you just look around and the light is kind of dim and it's not the right color of light, it suddenly looks dingy instead of charming, you know? So like,
it's true.
You know, if you look at a place and it looks dirty, you're certainly not going to want to eat there.
Yeah.
If you go into a bus stop and you know, the chairs look dirty, you don't want to sit there, you know? So, I mean, I think there is something to be said about the way that somebody takes care of themselves. And it's not even maybe so much about how others are judging the way that you're dressing, but maybe it has to do with the impact of how it makes you feel. Mm-hmm. So, for example, by that I mean, if you are wearing something, I don't care if it's business casual or if it's formal attire or if you're in, you know, your most comfortable clothing, if it's something that makes you feel like you look great, you probably carry yourself completely differently. Then even if you're wearing something, so like, let's say you have something quite informal, but you feel like you look great in it, right? Maybe mm-hmm. makes you feel like you're walking on air kind of thing, you know, whereas like at the other end, you might wear something like, I don't know, you might have on a tux and it might even be comfortable, but somehow you just feel like you look stuffy. Right. Mm-hmm. And so like your whole attitude is going to reflect like how much you hate wearing this tux. Right. So it's not exactly about just being comfortable. It's about how it makes you actually project your being. Right. Mm-hmm. So actually that conference that I had, the Dream Job conference, there was actually a woman who spoke about fashion and about how certain colors and certain textures of clothing, they make an impression on other people. And it's not about tricking them. It's about actually like highlighting kind of the vibes that you're giving off is kind of the way she described it. So I think somehow attire certainly has a reflection on our professionalism.
Yeah.
So
I'm curious to hear from your point of view, and you having had a long career in corporate America, or not corporate America, corporate Switzerland.
Corporate. Yeah, let's just say corporate, yeah.
In corporate.
Oh, because here the attire is very formal, I can tell you.
Oh, I bet, yeah. So I'm really curious, because I feel like there's two sides of the idea of professionalism in my mind. There's like the outward appearance of professionalism, which kind of the things that we've talked about, hygiene and the way you dress, and maybe even the way you act in front of people. But then there's the professionalism of like, who are you behind closed doors? You know, who are you when you are making a deal that maybe is a little bit sketchy, and you need to have that professionalism to say no, even though it might seem like a good opportunity, but you know what I mean? And so there's kind of these two sides of, there's the outward appearance of professionalism, but then there's also the inward professionalism for yourself.
Yeah, no, I think I would totally agree with that. I think part of that is setting boundaries. So knowing what your guidelines are, you know, for professionalism. So for you, it seems like, you know, good morality and authenticity is part of the professionalism package. Mm-hmm. And I would agree that for me that as well. You would be shocked at what is considered truth or truthful or honesty in the workplace, right? I mean, just to give you a very simple situation, there is, like, if you think of these two terms, there's a world of difference between the two. One is full disclosure and the other is transparency, right? And in theory, we're saying in both of them that we want to tell the truth, but one is certainly a curated version of the truth. So, and that's totally acceptable and it's totally expected in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So I think this is part of your professionalism, but this is also something that everybody has to know for themselves. And if you don't know how you feel about something like that, like if you get into a situation where you're working for a boss who is asking you to do things that you don't feel comfortable about, that's a big issue. Because if you're somebody who really wants to respect that side of things, you're constantly going to feel like your boss is asking you to do something, like pushing you in the wrong direction, and you're suddenly going to feel completely incongruent with what's happening at your workplace. And it's funny because I would really say that my experience is that the higher up the organization you go, it should be simpler for you to say this is right or this is wrong, but it's actually completely the inverse, right? So you're getting bigger decisions, bigger questions, and the lines are not so clear, right? Yeah. So these are the white lies that we hear parents tell their children, right, to make things easier. Right. So this is how sometimes it happens in a corporation, is that people start telling things that are sketching the boundaries. Right. And then suddenly you kind of get in one direction and it's hard to go back. So I would agree that that side of telling the truth and sticking to proper behavior, right, depending on your own morals, is definitely a show of professionalism. Right. So,
yeah. And go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I just, you know, I always want to try and bring these conversations back to the overarching theme of changing a career. And just the thought that came to my mind was, you know, when you are looking at changing into a whole new industry, that this is something really important to really think about. You know, I've never really thought about this as being one of the factors that you should look into when moving into a new industry, but like, look at, do you comfortably fit into the professionalism that's expected in the industry that you're going into. And again, not just the outward professionalism, but that inward professionalism too, the boundaries that people are willing to set. You know, for some people, like for myself, nothing against like salespeople and stuff, but I just personally, like, that's not my vibe. And it just, it never has sat right with me when I've like moved into sales roles or looked at sales roles. And it's not because I think that all salespeople are sleazy people, but it's just like a different type of professionalism that I personally don't really want to move into. And so, you know, I think just looking at what is it that's like important to you? What type of professionalism do you want to present in your career?
Yeah. And I, you know, you make me think, We can see each other. For those who don't know, Travis and I can actually see each other, and I'm chuckling a little bit on my side because he says he doesn't like sales. And it's funny because I've really had to evolve over time towards sales, because obviously when you have your own business, that's part of what you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when you're doing sales, it's really interesting because it depends on how you look at things. So you can look at it like you're pushing something onto somebody, but you can also look at it like you know, you're actually providing service. So if you look at like insurance sales, you're actually selling somebody a service where you're protecting them or that they're protecting themselves. It's only when you are, in my opinion, it's only when you're selling somebody something that they don't need mm-hmm. that it becomes really problematic. True. Or that you're selling somebody something for your own gain,
right,
but not because you really believe that they need it, right? Yeah. So I think part of it is the motivation behind it. But I think that's also the other thing, is that when you think about professionalism, it comes back again to this question of, you know, where are your boundaries,
yeah,
right? And what is acceptable? And part of that is probably also the way that a company actually incents people to do their job. Mm-hmm. So if you're talking about sales, maybe there are quotas or maybe there are incentive schemes that are, you know, incenting people in the wrong way, let's say.
Yeah.
So, and then I think the last part, so like the first part is kind of your general attitude, right? And like first impressions and, you know, are you on time? And, you know, do you project self-confidence and because of what you're wearing, you know, those mm-hmm. kinds of things, right? And then the second part was then about contact with other people. So, you know, like, how do you interact? And I think things like, are you smiling and are you polite, you know, when people ask you questions, are you really trying to be service oriented? And then I think, you know, there's this third part, which is kind of how you carry out your work. And you made allusion to that about, you know, what's happening kind of behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the other part, right, is, you know, are you somebody who is, you know, like, do you work quickly, but do you still have, you know, attention to detail? And are you really paying attention to what you're doing? I think that's one of the things, is that people often don't feel very engaged anymore in some situations, and not really taking it so personally. I come from a family where we had a family-owned business when I was growing up, and I can tell you for sure that attention to what's happening in a family-owned business is a completely different perspective than somebody who has grown up in a family where the parents, you know, just had other kinds of jobs, let's say. Mm-hmm. And when you find somebody else who is from a family-owned business background, it's like finding, you know, somebody from your hometown. Suddenly you're like, oh, I know, isn't that funny? Exactly. You know, like you can trade stories about what influence that's had on you in the way that you look at things. So I think kind of what I wanted to say, like in bringing up this whole professionalism thing, is that, you know, if you think about it, wouldn't you just love that somebody refers to you as being really professional? You know, like if somebody was asked to describe you in your professional setting, you would love for somebody to say, oh, you know, Travis is just really professional. Like, that is a huge compliment. So I guess what I would love to do is encourage people to think about what that really means for them,
yeah,
and to try to live up to that standard for themselves.
Yeah. And I really like that, of imagining someone saying that about you. Cause when you just said that to me, my mind automatically went to, what does that look like? Like, what, mm-hmm. you know, what's that image of me being professional? And that image is probably different for me than what it might be for you and what it might be for you as a listener. And so writing down, you know, when your coworker or somebody says that, you know, what does that look like to you? So, yeah, I think it's been great, Anita, and appreciate you putting that together. And hope that was helpful for everybody, and really take that challenge to get clear on what you want to, what professionalism looks like to you. So thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Everyday Worker. If you want to find more great content just like this to help you in your career change journey, go to everydayworker.com. There you'll find my blog, all my podcasts, and other free resources such as my Career Change Masterclass, where I share what's stopping you from switching to a fulfilling career and how you can overcome those challenges. Again, go to everydayworker.com to learn more.